Churches which follow the liturgical year, as we generally do, celebrate this Sunday as the Sunday of the baptism of the Lord. It may seem somewhat odd to have the adult Jesus being baptized only a couple of Sundays after we have celebrated his birth, but that's kind of how the Gospels handle it. Luke has the one story about the boy Jesus in the temple between the birth and baptism. And Matthew has the account of the flight of the Holy Family into Egypt to escape the deranged and mentally unfit King Herod. But apart from that, there is nothing about Jesus' childhood. He is born. 30 years or so later, he appears and is baptized. Indeed, Mark and John don't even include his birth. We're also in the time, so to speak, of Epiphany. Epiphany, the 12th day following Christmas, meaning it always falls on January 6th, which was yesterday. What did my true love give to me on the 12th day of Christmas? 12 drummers drumming, right? Well, it is no accident. Is that right? 12 drummers drumming? Yeah, I thought so. It is no accident that the baptism of the Lord and Epiphany have always been closely associated. Indeed, originally, Epiphany was a celebration which focused on the baptism of Christ. In the Eastern Orthodox Church, Epiphany came to rank with Pentecost and Easter as three of the major feasts in the church. However, in the West, Epiphany came to be associated less with the baptism of Christ and more with the visit of the Magi. Still, the baptism of Christ ties closely with the meaning and celebration of Epiphany, that is, the manifestation of Christ as Savior of the world. Jesus is no longer tied to a minor religious sect, but is Savior of the nation. So with that introduction, we read two passages, both from Matthew, one having to do with the visit of the wise man, and then the account of Jesus' baptism. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. And then from the third chapter, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Friends, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Over the centuries, Christians have debated what baptism accomplishes, to whom it should be administered, at what stage in their life, what kind of water, how much water should be used, whether it should be sprinkled or poured or fully immersed. All sorts of special ritual have grown up around this sacrament, ranging from a pre-dawn ritual in a local river or lake, to carrying the baptized infant around the sanctuary, to using water from the River Jordan itself. Our passage indicates that John was already baptizing people when Jesus appeared on the scene. He's even called John the Baptizer. So baptism obviously has a history predating Jesus. Baptism finds its roots in the various Old Testament rituals of cleansing, and in Christian tradition came to replace the Old Testament practice of circumcision as that sign of entrance or acceptance into the community of faith. But what about Jesus' baptism? Why did Jesus allow himself to be baptized in the Jordan River by John? After all, John was baptizing, preaching a baptism for the repentance of sins. And Orthodox Christian theology would resist the notion that Jesus needed to repent and be forgiven of sin. Even John recognizes that Jesus is somehow different than the others coming for baptism, reflected in the words, John would have prevented him saying, I need to be baptized by you, but do you come to me? Yet that Jesus was baptized is surely an historical certainty. The church would never have created such a story so obviously filled with theological and doctrinal pitfalls. But apart from theology, Matthew provides a number of directions in which we could go, but I invite us briefly to consider just two points. First, Matthew reports that Jesus came to the Jordan to be baptized by John. His actions were intentional. He didn't just happen upon the scene, get caught up in the emotion of the moment, and allow himself to be baptized. Jesus is intentional. And there is a lesson for us here. You see, friends, if we are not intentional about things of the Spirit, we are left to grapple with the vagaries and inconsistencies of life in a haphazard kind of way. If we are not intentional about matters of the Spirit, when crisis strikes, we are left grappling for hooks, reaching for straws, thrashing about for lifelines. Being intentional in matters of the Spirit equips us to handle the inevitable spiritual challenges which come our way. And being intentional about matters of the Spirit means doing those things Christ did. Gathering, as we are now, in community worship. Being a student of Scripture. Engaging in prayer. Joining in fellowship. As Jesus was intentional in his desire to be baptized, so we must be intentional when it comes to matters of the Spirit, if we expect them to take hold and bear fruit in our life. And secondly, when John seeks to prevent Jesus from being baptized, saying Jesus should be baptizing him, Jesus consents and says, let it be so, for it is proper to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, from Jesus' perspective, that he be baptized is what God wills. And as such, submitting to this baptism by John becomes an act of fidelity on the part of Jesus to the commands of God. So early on, here at the very outset of Jesus' ministry, Jesus is faithful. And to remove any doubt as to whether he is doing the right thing, we hear God's voice of approval. The heavens are open, the Holy Spirit descends, and a voice comes from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son. The baptism thus becomes a public pronouncement, an epiphany, the introduction of the person of Christ to the public, to the world. Indeed, there is a lesson for us here as well. As Jesus was faithful, so our call is to faithfulness, to discern through intentional attention to matters of the Spirit, God's presence in the world and God's desire for us as individuals and as a congregation, so that we too, like Jesus, can live lives of fidelity to God. And to be sure, we express our faithfulness to God in various ways, in our daily lives. We are faithful in our marriages. We are faithful in our friendships. We are faithful in our stewardship. We are faithful in fulfilling our work responsibilities. We are faithful in tending to the vulnerable and needy in our community and world. You know, one of the things I have discovered is that fulfilling all righteousness by responding faithfully, even at times when our faith itself seems to be wavering, in fact, seems to strengthen our faith. It seems that walking the way of faith, even in the midst of our doubts, leads right into the caring heart of God. We rediscover God's faithfulness in the midst of our own faithfulness. So as we enter this new year, may Jesus' baptism serve as a fitting call to discipleship. Jesus was intentional when it came to matters of the Spirit, and Jesus was faithful to his understanding of what God was calling him to do. As we follow Jesus' lead, we can rest assured that as God was well pleased with his Son, so God's blessing will be with us as well. Amen.